John Bonova. Channel Bonova, on a continuation visit with Debbie this Thursday, the 31st of August, 72. Channel Bonova, on a continuation visit with Debbie this Thursday, the 31st of August, 72. Channel 1 right, on a continuation visit with Debbie this Thursday, the 31st of August, 72. Channel 1 over. Continuation visit with Debbie this Thursday, the 31st of August, 72.
Pretty. What kind of fruit do you put in it?
Apples.
Just apples?
Anything. The apples get to lay these.
What kind of wine is it?
What kind of red wine and the branded wine. I guess you know what the weather is.
You just hit it lucky that time.
Uh-huh. I did.
You think we got an inch?
No.
You don't think so?
It rained more than that last night. It didn't quite make an inch.
Yeah. That's right. It was just hard all of a sudden.
Yeah, it didn't last that long.
Mm-hmm. You didn't get to ride?
Mm-mm.
You just barely got on there, didn't you?
We fed him some pears. Missy will push Molly out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, will she?
Debbie taught her that.
I didn't teach her that. She really, really runs Molly around. Molly's big and she is. She sort of looks at her cross-eyed and Molly runs. Strong character Missy has.
How you brought her up to be a princess. So.
She is a princess.
That's what you get.
Oh, what did you teach Missy?
Rubber hand.
That's the worst thing.
Well, I was saying to Rick, I didn't really teach her that. She just started doing it, and I didn't discourage her.
Just like you was a post.
Mm-hmm.
She figured that after she had taken you for a nice ride, that was mm-hmm. okay.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And that filly is surely lovely.
Oh, did you see the filly? Oh, you saw the filly the other day.
Well, I saw her. We went out again today. She's just beautiful.
And she sees that, notices everything. Before you get out there, she's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Over the ears, pointed in that white, please.
Well, she was that way even when she was sick.
That's right.
After she gone through that, all that bout of colic, got all those shots and all that oil. And they were there feeding her, and she had her eyes just looking all around. They had her mm-hmm. nose down the bucket eating away.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie got here just in time for that.
But just that when the work started. They didn't know it.
I didn't know it was going to be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I guess I left the same time mm-hmm. you did, didn't I? That's right.
No, really,
that's when that's right. That's right. I remember because you were there. We found it. And we thought it was all over, and we left.
Mm-hmm. Because her nose was going down.
Mm-hmm. We said so.
And we thought it was going to be all right, and that was coming. I had no idea.
And then that night when it started to feed her, she had the colic. Remember that?
That was the next. Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. That was the next night.
That was the next night. Yeah.
Oh my.
Well, I think it's let up now. Here we go. Gotta let the rose drain.
Yeah, I have to drain it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Rub them on. They'll dry off pretty fast, won't they?
I don't want to stop. Mm. You know, just completely stop.
The horse will dry off. Steam off or what?
Not hot enough for them to steam. Mm-mm.
Or it has to be hot.
But they'll, you know, dry off pretty well.
She was hungry.
Yeah. What is it, 2 o'clock?
Mm.
They just hungry. We all go ahead and eat
when I've well, I don't get to. One thing that is difficult out here, I should go in every few days. No one has good salad stuff. You can get this kind of lettuce. Rick brought us to the cottage. Or his mother did. And, but you know, you don't get. Yeah, you know, I just get so hungry for mangoes and papayas and, you know, even a artichoke. That's something. And we just eat it simply. Do well to eat potatoes.
You know, they used to bring those in the store. We used to get the variety of the salads, the endive, the escarole, the romaine mm-hmm. lettuce, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we would order a case on Monday. Because if we didn't order it on Monday, they'd just ship us 2 on Tuesday. Just to get it out of the warehouse.
Mm. Oh, really?
So if we ordered Monday, they wouldn't do that to us. And they figured we had our allotment. And we put half the case out Monday. On Wednesday, we'd throw that half out and put the other half out.
Just wouldn't sell?
If you sold 2 or 3, that was good. You had to order it, and you lost money on it all the time, but you had to order it. In other stores, you couldn't keep it in stock. It was gone like that.
It depends on the area.
You have to usually be in a fairly rich neighborhood uh-huh. before it's bought. And the Cubans wouldn't buy it.
Uh-huh.
But we had the special delivery by the Cuban direct supply. For all their vegetables, a malanga and Cuban sweet potato and things like that. And we could just sell piles of that stuff.
But that seems ironical that you had to order the stuff that wouldn't sell.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is. The warehouse. Had to order it? The warehouse doesn't get stuck with anything.
Uh-huh.
They send it to you.
Uh-huh. Well, how can they do that? Why don't you refuse to accept it?
Because selling it from warehouse to store is where the company makes money. And the stores get rid of it. Break even if you can.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
And I know a friend of mine who used to load trucks over at the warehouse. It was a great summer job or something for a student. Because you get all kinds of overtime. You paid $2-3 an hour. It's hard work, heavy work. It kept you in shape. And he said the rule over there was, if it's a damaged case, ship it out. And we used to get cases in, and it looked like somebody ran a forklift over it. And you just, what is this? You couldn't open it. You couldn't do anything. You would just take it off the truck and drop it in the garbage can. I mean, mark it short, and send it back to the warehouse, and they'd give you credit.
Mm.
It was so funny. Mm. But you get a case of oil, and the box would be all wet on the outside with oil, and just, you open it up real carefully and hear the glass crinkling around and dropping down inside.
So the same people own the warehouse that own the store, is that it?
Yeah.
For that?
It's the Winn-Dixie stores, quick check.
Mm.
I've never quite understood how they made any money, but they make it. Because our store was, an inventory was $11,000 in the red. Which is very serious. It means the manager might not be looking for a job very shortly. But then we got it down to 1,000, which was bad, but we'll still keep you on the payroll and let you keep working for us. If it was within $500, that was okay.
In the red.
Hmm. If you broke even, that was just wow.
Oh, this is mine. I never knew how a grocery store was operated. Well, Rick had looked at it. He had to get outside it to look at it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. It always scared me. When the new executives, those that had just been promoted, would come in the store, and they had beautiful new clothes on, the latest style in shirts, and the fine woven tie, and this beautiful pattern, everything was just so, and the hair was just so, and they had a watch on, the Winn-Dixie emblem in the watch. I just went, I can't go that far, get away from me.
Rick, would you like some more of these pears?
Yes, I would.
Fresh baked. I'll let you do it.
That'll
be fine. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You have some more, Dave?
No, thank you. I've got plenty. Do people work for Winn-Dixie and start out being managers and then just stay, or?
And you start out as a bag boy.
I mean, if they start out as a bag boy and then work up to the watch.
Well, that's more or less what my father did.
Mm-hmm.
He never worked in the stores, though. He started as more or less an office boy
mm-hmm.
and worked up to manager. And that's been 20-some years. And I could spend the rest of my life working for them. When I'm 50 or 60, you come by in my office and Vice President Reynolds or something. See me with this painful look on my face like, what have I done?
Did you work there when you were in college a lot? Or?
I worked off and on. I started when I was 16 or 17, just part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And then through junior college. And then after I got out of college, I worked full-time for a year.
Just to see if he could.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't.
A certain amount of security, you know. You always look for Thursday. Paycheck came in, you already had figured out just what you were going to make. And you're always looking for ways to pick up overtime. Mm-hmm. I got to wondering, what's it going to be like not to have a paycheck to look forward to on Thursdays? And I haven't missed it. There's too much else to look forward to all week now.
Not a bit. Been a year now. I haven't missed it at all. We never got things like overtime in the hospital, though. We were lucky if they got around to paying us.
My grandpa used to eat, except he had white bread. He put big chunks of butter on it,
uh-huh.
And bury it in molasses. Mm-hmm. And he ate for dessert, and the doctor just screamed at him because of his heart, mm-hmm. And he refused to ever quit. Mm-hmm. We'll sit there and watch him do that, just go, I'm above the path.
I do like molasses.
I just assumed it would stop.
Yeah.
We've had a nice one. This is a stop.
Falls are happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guy, Debbie says that it's just as bad for students to stay in hospitals as it is in hotels. They don't see anything but 75 other American students.
I think student hostels are as bad as Hilton hotels now.
Now.
Mm-hmm. You don't see anything at all. You're just in a very narrow, close little. You're with a lot of Americans.
Oh. Mm. Well, what are they like? A cave in the side of the mountain?
Mm. I never saw any of those. Oh, they're just beds for you to sleep through the night. You know, and they kick you out again in the morning. But I mean, that's fine, and I think it's fine to do things inexpensively if you want to, but what I object to is that they don't ever see anybody but all the people that they see all year long. Like people who can't be away from private bathroom, so they go to a Hilton hotel. Same thing. I think you learn so much more just staying in a French hotel or staying in a German guest house.
Yeah.
And staying in the same place, Debbie says, if you just got 3 months, you better stay around the same place. Instead of running around too much. And wasn't that your statement?
Mm-hmm. I once made the pompous statement that I would never go anywhere for less than 3 months. I haven't either.
probably going to limit the players. Would you consider you staying one place this summer?
No. I saw a lot this summer. But see, I had already spent 4 months, 5 months in one place. Before that.
Yeah.
So then
the first time.
I had, no, in France. I stayed in Nice for 5 months. And Nice. Then this summer I traveled. But the first time I went, I stayed 3 months in Greece, in Athens.
She spent 5 months in Nice?
Yeah. She took a little turn there once in a while, but she...
January.
Oh, you mean this summer?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
trip? Oh, I see. Yes, yes. Yes, that's right. You did stay a good while there, didn't you? They don't, the public place is out in the streets, but they don't invite you in so much.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. That's what I found anyway. Maybe, I think it was typical of France.
I think it's set in again, see?
Yeah.
Another 9 inches coming up for the middle of the week.
Yeah. I can remove this thing if you want to keep it.
She had a servant too, 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So
that wasn't a real old house.
No, they just built it.
With marble floors?
Yes.
I didn't think you could have anything like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. And they had, do you know what French doors are? They're the doors that just, they're, all their windows open out.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the nicest things about France, was that they don't have screens.
No.
Anywhere. You just open the window and you're outdoors.
Can't imagine what it would be. Oh, bugs and.
No, they're not. I mean, bugs. It's really. I don't know. I never saw any bugs. Once in a while, we'd see.
No mosquito?
No.
I'm moving.
And it was just so nice, you know, to wake up in the morning and they have shutters on all the windows that you close at night. And you open the shutters and then open the glass and you're just outdoors. And the windows downstairs on the first floor were all doors. They were that high. And that's how you got in and out of the house. Through the windows. You just open the window and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, French windows. It's just wonderful. And it was the same way in Germany, too. There were no screens on the windows. Just open the window and you're outside. Really loved it. You couldn't do it in Florida because of the bugs. But I don't see why you couldn't do it other places.
No screens in New York. In New York, in any of the big cities.
A lot of the windows don't open either.
Or if you open them, you've got bars in front of them.
Awesome. You couldn't have a screen on, I don't know, kind of like a apartment house. One would fall out on the traffic below. And I found it used to sit right close to an open window, not everybody knew about it. No? Where in another room? But the windows would come all the way down to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the way to the floor. It'd be double doors like that, and they'd just open out and it'd fall down. Mm-hmm. It was so nice. You sort of felt like you were living outdoors all the time, because there was no, the house just sort of gave into the garden very naturally.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing to keep you away from being outdoors.
Windows came all the way to the floor, guys. And the villa.
The niche.
Mm-hmm. And the villa.
Mm-hmm. The French doors. All the windows on the first floor were doors. And outside, there were no screens. Or anything.
All the, no, I didn't get that. All the windows were doors?
On the first floor,
yeah.
The windows were the doors. They were the French doors that opened out. And that was the only window in the room, would be the door to go outdoors into the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So that you felt that you were living outside all the time. All you had to do was walk out the window.
Yeah.
I like that.
How about that? And the window came clear down to the floor.
Mm-hmm. It was the size of the door there.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it made me see the villa.
Well, it was very close to the street because...
You know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All the houses in France are very close to the street because, they're very private, and their garden is behind the house rather than in front of the house. So that the villa was right up against the street. There was sort of a little gravel space right in front of it, and then the garage, and then you could either walk around to the front and go in the front door, or go in through the kitchen, which was faced the road. And everybody usually walked in through the kitchen. They had a big modern kitchen, and then they had a big room that sort of went around the kitchen that had all the doors that opened out into the garden. And that was sort of the salon and the dining room, with windows everywhere all around. And then they
went
had
around the kitchen.
Mm-hmm, the kitchen was where you walked in from the street, and then there was a big L-shaped room like that around the kitchen. And they had sort of a guest room and a sort of a little apartment that was a bathroom and a guest room on the first floor. And then upstairs they had four bedrooms, and you went up the marble stairs upstairs. And then they had an attic that they had just made over into a music room. So, you know, had wanted to have a place for his stereo and all his records. So he built, they had this attic, and he converted it into a listening room while I was there. Put the right kind of thing on the wall so that the sound would not reverberate too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all. I mean, it was big, though. The rooms were very big, and there was a garage downstairs too. A little bit like Florida houses, except that a lot of the houses there are two-storied, and in Florida that's sort of rare. But in Nice you can live indoors and outdoors at the same time, which is harder in northern France because it's cold. And they had an enormous garden behind the house. Huge back.
Flower garden.
Mm-hmm. A flower garden. We planted some vegetables. I told them I wanted to plant vegetables. They had artichokes growing, just wild in the back. And so we ate, when artichokes were in season, we used to eat artichokes every night. And then we planted a garden, a vegetable garden. And Yunal and I went out and dug for about a week. We planted beans and radishes. And kale, peas, and squash, and then she put in a couple of things just as I was leaving. She put in some melon, I think. The only thing that came up before I left were the radishes. The only thing. Carrots we had, too.
And she liked to garden.
She loved to garden. She said that was because she was English, and all English people like their gardens. But she used to spend all her time in the garden, mowing the lawn, and just working in the bed, in the flower bed. They had a lot of different kinds of trees, too. They had to plant all their trees when they built the house. And in France, they have an ordinance that if you plant a tree, then you have to get government permission to cut it down again. Because they don't want France to be defoliated. If you plant it, and you build a house and you plant a tree and it's too close to the house and it grows up and it's too big and it's going to fall on your house or something, it's very difficult to cut it down because you have to have government permission to do it. But they had quite a mixture of trees in their garden. They had a weeping willow tree, and then they had a couple of cherry trees and a couple of olive trees, and what else? Some other fruit trees. They had some oranges and some grapefruit. And grapefruit. But I thought it was sort of interesting that she'd have cherry trees and olive trees next to each other.
And then citrus.
Uh-huh. It's not as warm as Florida, but it's a very warm climate, I guess. It's easy to grow.
The olives grow on the southern Mediterranean coast.
Well, Nice is the southern.
Well, I mean African Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm. And southern Italy and Greece.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of olive groves around Nice, in the mountains behind Nice.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do olives grow? Like plums?
No, have you ever eaten a raw olive?
No.
Or picked one off the tree? We decided one day that we should taste an olive off a tree. Yeah. I know, I'd only had the kind that are already... What do you do to olives? Pickle it?
Yes,
when you
do.
Pickle it. Which I thought it must, of course, taste wonderful off the tree. They're very sour, very, very sour. And they're very juicy when they come off the tree.
Oh.
Bite into it and the juice just sort of runs out. And I guess when you pickle it, that takes care of the juice. But they grow like little cherries on the tree.
And you got a stem?
Uh-huh. It's like a cherry, sort of. I mean, that's what I'm reminded of when I see an olive tree. It looks like black cherries all over it.
They're not green?
When they're ripe, they're not, no. They're black. That's what a ripe olive is, a black olive, and a green olive is before it's ripe.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't know that.
Well, you get them green in the store, preserved, put up in...
But that's a green olive that's been picked and pickled.
I thought that was just another variety.
I think it's a green olive.
It's just not
before
ripe.
It's ripe.
No, you see, you find the jars and it says ripe olive.
Yeah.
Those are the
black.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... olives to them are like our potatoes. They're not costly. They just grow everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And olive oil is inexpensive too. But you harvest olives, picking them up off the ground. They don't go climb up in the tree. I guess that's because once they fall to the ground, then they're ripe. And if they're still on the tree, they're not yet ripe. And so you see the people out gathering them on their hands. You know, sort of. Not on their hands and knees, but bent over double, picking up the olives. With little donkeys.
Were they donkeys?
Take the donkeys out because they're in terraces. It's so mountainous around Nice that they plant in terraces like China, I guess. Like the street that I've seen is the terraces in China.
Yes. Ah. Isn't that nice? But they built that big house.
Yes, they did.
With all the marble.
With all the marble.
Hmm. Well, geez whiz. I figured it was just some old contraction that they had picked up.
No. No. Yeah. Very new and modern.
And the kitchen's modern.
Mm-hmm. And the dishwasher and Well, dishwasher was the only thing they had, really, but it was terribly modern.
Yeah. But still, just the surfaces are right on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't have wood stoves.
No, electric.
Electric. I don't know why, but I always think of houses in France as being red brick. I don't know why I would think that.
I'm not.
What was the construction? What was the material?
They were brick, but they were in the Mediterranean. They're all painted. And they're painted wild colors. They're painted like pink with purple shutters.
Oh.
Green with pink shutters. I should show you some pictures that I took around Nice. The craziest colors in the world, these houses.
Oh, you took pictures?
Yeah. I'll bring some out.
But you're not a real, I mean, you don't do that like a lot of people do, take pictures.
No. Phoebe took so many pictures. She was always running around with her camera. I mean, I enjoy taking pictures, but I used to get so tired of carrying things that I couldn't stand to carry a camera when we'd go somewhere. I always felt that the camera was between me and what I wanted to look at.
Yeah.
And I like to have pictures of people, but I, take some pictures of that.
Well, you can buy postcards if you want.
If you want to see what something looks like, you can buy a postcard, and that's a better picture.
That's what I used to say. I picked a postcard.
And,
but you didn't have to go see the place then. You just
And what did you say the dining table looked like at the end of the meal, Debbie?
Like a battle had gone on. It was wonderful. The bread is what does it. Because the bread just crumbles when you break it. It's all crust. If you don't like crust on bread, you're out of luck in France. And you break a loaf, and it just all crumbles.
They
and
put
they
Rick over here right in the seat. He can't see that. He's sitting right there.
That's right.
And then I can't see him. He's so fidgety.
Why does he fidget?
He's so damn healthy.
We fuss at him all the time. He's so healthy. Ain't it awful?
Yeah.
And Debbie's so healthy too. I'm healthy too.
Where were we?
We were breaking bread. Let us break bread together.
You know, I've thought of that many times. 2 hours just to talk and break bread, see?
That's what Debbie says. She just misses
from 9 to 11.
That's wonderful. So wonderful. They just take time to sit down.
Yeah.
They don't have to rush off somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you don't elbow each other like we do at this little table.
table was a little bit bigger than this one,
yeah.
But not much. There were, how many of us were there? Just 5. So that.
1, 2, 3.
I'm sure you know, Madame, you know, Vincent and Jean-Pierre and me.
2 of the children.
And
sometimes the mother was there.
And the mother was there. Mrs. Rice was there for about a month. Just a month and a half.
Yeah. And the children sat it out?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jean-Pierre didn't at night because he was too little. He was only 4. And so he went to bed. But Vincent did. He was just 18.
18. Okay. He's the one that read to you.
Mm-hmm. He was a medical student, struggling away with microbes.
At 18.
See, they don't go, after they get out of lycée, they go directly into college and whatever they're going to study. Like if they're going into medicine, they go to a medical college right away,
mm-hmm.
or into law or something like that. Because it's very, when you have a high school degree in France, it really means something. You have to take a lot of state exams to get it. And a lot of people don't get it.
Oh, really? It's not like ours?
No. I mean, they take exams 2 years running. The first year, they is French. They just take a series of French exams. so that they have to be able to get along in the language really well. And then the second year they take, the year that they graduate, they elect what their exams will be, what areas, and they have to pass them in order to get a degree, the baccalaureate. And they're also a year older then. It's sort of as if they've had the first year of college in this country before they even start university. And then for a licence, the in liberal arts, for example, it's just 3 years to get that.
Oh.
So
they
it's like that. Yeah, we go four. So it's sort of as if they've tacked in the first year of college onto high school. But it's a good deal more rigorous. I think they learn a lot more of academics when they're in lycée than we do in high school. They couldn't to get a high school diploma is sort of like taking comprehensive exams in an American university. They couldn't understand when I said that I had graduated from high school not taking any exams, and also from college, that
yeah.
I didn't take comprehensive exams to get
oh.
a degree.
Yeah.
And they were amazed that I would have studied 4 years in a college and not taken any kind of exam to show that
yeah.
I merited my degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand that.
And then they don't have those little exams all along.
No, they have exams at the end of the year. They only go to school, well, in Nice anyway, they only went to school from about the end of October until, when did they get out? The first part of May. So that for about 5 months of the year, they're on vacation. They just shut up. Everything shuts up. Everybody goes on vacation.
5 months of the year?
It's very inefficient. They don't have any kind of summer school. Anything like that. Lock it up. Everybody goes away.
Let's go to France.
Let's go to France and teach. Yeah, that's the place. 5 months vacation. Plus 2 weeks at Easter and 2 weeks at Christmas and a long weekend every weekend in May for all the saints. And
oh, for all the saints.
Mm-hmm. May is a big saints month. Ascension and Annunciation.
I don't think it's French that you want us to be. I think you just want a little more French.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to go back.
she got the nice part of it, Faye. Right to the heart of it, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Well, what are you waiting on?
I have to get a bicycle. I want a bicycle next. I want a bicycle in the Loire Valley. Go up through the chateaus.
Spend another week in charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's sort of on the way. I mean,
yeah.
It's a little bit out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, if you did it again, you would, Phoebe wouldn't be there necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You take Rick and me with you.
All right.
Faye will go with you. She'll go with
you. I'll get a bicycle and go next spring.
Oh.
Next spring. Well, let me tell you, that's the cheapest living, Faye, in the world. You don't have to do anything for entertainment because everything you do is entertainment.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said. Mm-hmm.
It's all just
mm-hmm.
like the books would show, isn't it? Anything you do. Even
mm-hmm.
go and buy some olives. It's just like a mm-hmm. reading Moby Dick.
Yep.
Golly.
You know what she's going to do this fall, don't you? She's going to isolate herself somewhere and write till her hand falls off.
Well, let me tell you, she can do that any time. But look at it, she's in such good shape. See,
I have to keep walking.
She tells if she stays around here, she'll eat starches and she'll get pudgy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Debbie, now this is just selfish, but there's no compulsion in it. I wish somehow or other I could get a little of this off on a piece of paper. You see, for these chaps I know who will never have it. I see, I was in hopes you'd show up a little bit while Suzanne was here. She really came and tried to hit you. And all she needed, you know, was just a little touch of it. She is so provincial, you see. She looks like she got manure on her shoes. And she's gifted and all like that. And she's read Shakespeare. But she hasn't done it. I don't feel at all for this. You see, just a little bit somehow. If you get off, you can get a little off on a manuscript, can't you, Faye?
Sure.
I think you can. I used to read this New Yorker letter from Paris, and
Genet.
I'll read it more because I'm limited in the amount of reading I do with these the people I've got. They just made me nostalgic. I didn't know anything about France, you see. All I knew about France, you could put a symbol on. I didn't have a feel for it. I saw the scenic side.
People sleeping over the heaters.
Right.
You'd love those.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Now, your letters, they'd be fine, except, well, I could try them. I don't know. I could let somebody read one through your letters. But I don't think they're quite circumstantial enough, Faye. They're not sustained enough. You don't quite get it, huh? Like the visit up there where the terrapin was.
Well, if you would. Yeah, that's right. Writing a letter is one thing, but if you would just sit down to write it out.
Writing about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A little more sustained,
yeah.
I'd say. See, Emma Dickinson's poems are actually incomprehensible. You see, she wrote this little, she uses the hymn meter. That's all she has to go by.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough others. So what you have to do is read Charles Anderson, his explication of those little things. And that brings them to life. And what it actually does, I think, is sustain them. You really have a gift for it. We never did get to that debacle. What did she call
bread.
It?
The bread. Yeah, I want you to tell guys. What happens to the table, Debbie? I just can see that.
It looks like a battle. It starts out very nicely. You lay the cover, that's what they call it,
mm-hmm.
and it's the tablecloth and all the plates and everything.
And then
the bread comes out.
Yeah.
And people start breaking the bread. And you never put bread on a plate in France. You put it beside your plate on the tablecloth.
Right on it?
Yes. Yes. It's I know, it's hard to get used to. We're taught to put everything, you know, on the plate and not, but they rest the fork and knife out like that, too.
On the table?
Mm-hmm. Well, no. They set the table with everything turned like that, upside down.
Yeah.
But then when you eat, you rest like that.
Oh.
Instead of putting it across your plate.
Oh.
And you put your hands on the table. I told you that. You know, don't ever put them under the table. You have them on the table all the time. And you eat sort of like this. You know, you hold on to everything when you eat. And just keep tearing the bread apart, and then things sort of, and then the cheese comes out, and then after the cheese, the fruit cores, and so if they're oranges or bananas, then that the peels sort of get added to the breadcrumbs that are strewn up, and by the end of the meal, you look at the table, and it's just little mountains of what's left of the meal, and which they clean up very practically by just sort of pulling the tablecloth together and walking outside and shaking it out the door, out the window, which is right there. They just shake the tablecloth out, and that's the end of the meal. Go give the birds all the banana, well, not the banana peels, but all the bread. It's great. It's just wonderful. I loved it.
Well, that's unbelievable. That's inconceivable, but anything like that would...
I don't know. Now, the first course is usually...
Well, it depends. If you're in a restaurant, it's sometimes soup.
Yeah.
But we didn't... usually have soup for a first course. The first course is supposed to be something that's a little bit richer than you progress from richer foods to lighter foods, because you eat rich foods at the end. You don't appreciate them as you do when you're hungry at the beginning of the meal. So you eat a rich first course, and then you have meat and vegetable or something, and then you have salad, and then fruit, and then cheese, and then fruit. So
what would be the rich?
Sometimes it's just a kind of vegetable that's cooked in various kinds of sauces. It can be endive wrapped in ham or something in a cream sauce, or you can have artichokes for a first course. It's usually a vegetable rather than a meat, some kind of vegetable dish. Cauliflower au gratin, and I used to just get so ecstatic over these, like, cauliflower au gratin, you know, and they'd look at me like I was just crazy, you know, why do you think this is so wonderful, we eat this all the time. We had fondue one time too, that when you put the meat in the big fondue pot.
You know, in one or two of those letters, Debbie gets the last end of the letter. I was thinking if she could write like she talks, because you can't do that literally. But you almost did, don't you? The time you and your teacher towards the end there crossed swords, and he said you should have been in another grade, and you said you didn't know why you couldn't. You could read it, but you couldn't speak it. And you wiped the dust off your feet and went out and just spoke it.
Spoke glorious French.
You see, that has a list, right? I think that's a nice thing. It's just the feel for it. Information spreads sin. You see, you don't have to be heavy with information. If you start telling one course after another, you see, you got to do it offhand.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I can't write like Debbie. I have not seen much of her writing, you know, but I can't write like that. I'm heavy. I'm too heavy. In school for my training.
Well, she resurrected some of her glimpses of former trips, you know, last fall, Greece and so forth.
Yeah.
But before these glimpses get so dull.
Debbie, what typing equipment do you have? You have a typewriter.
I have a typewriter.
Yeah.
And my sister's right now. I have, there's a typewriter at home, but I my sister has one that she's going to give me. She's going to send me. So.
Yeah. This little old dinky machine?
It's a manual machine.
Yeah.
Little old dinky machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
She types professionally if she wants to.
Debbie can even type correctly, you see.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Isn't that awful to think you're sitting here with somebody who
can type correctly?
Isn't that something?
Who can type correctly?
And pronounce French right. Isn't that something?
Be careful, I'll charge admission.
I was thinking maybe you should.
Yeah. Well, It comes at no extra cost, but it just makes me feel so shabby. You see, I never did anything right. It's so rough. That's nice. That's nice. I have no idea what the talk was like. Just no idea.
It was very ordinary. I mean, people would talk about what they had done that day, which is what you're hearing here, I think. What happened during the day? I'd tell them what had happened in my schoolroom. You know, if I had a fight with the teacher that day or something, which was usually the case, or what the grammar lecture had been about, which birds we learned about. And Monsieur now didn't talk very much.
Oh, didn't he?
No, unless he was trying to teach me something about what we were eating. Then he talked.
Well,
he was a little pedantic about. And he was helpful, yes, telling me about the honey and the butter. And he used to trap me.
Oh,
too.
That's nice about the honey. I see. I'm glad he told you that.
Oh well, it was interesting. I mean, and
yeah.
The reason that he'd tell me was because he knew I was interested.
Yeah.
You know, if I had acted bored, he wouldn't have told me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
telling
yeah.
me how wonderful the Roquefort cheese was today because we'd had it for 6 weeks before, and the mold had gotten really growing. That was common practice to just cut the mold off the cheese to eat it because
yeah.
it sits out so long.
You never
that horrified my parents more than anything else was that nothing was ever refrigerated. I told my mother that. And she's always lived in Florida or about 30 years or so, and so she's used to putting everything in the refrigerator. I mean, everything, because things spoil.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of people do things. I mean, things that
like
I...
Like bread and things,
and
too.
And ketchup. You don't need to put that in the refrigerator.
I've got some in the refrigerator right now, because some of it's spoiled, and I've tried it in the refrigerator.
We
but
put everything in our house in the refrigerator. We don't have
do
anything.
They don't do that in France.
No. They had a refrigerator, but they didn't use it. It's like the washing machine. They never put anything into the refrigerator. They had one, but sometimes if there was leftover food from dinner, she'd put the leftovers into the refrigerator.
Yeah.
But the cheese never went in the refrigerator, and the bread, of course, never went in the refrigerator. And she shopped every day for what we ate, so she didn't have anything in the refrigerator hanging on, except maybe butter and eggs.
Yeah.
Keep that in the refrigerator. And that's all.
She had a refrigerator.
Yes, she had one.
Was it wasn't a great big one?
No, it was about the size of yours. It was a big one. There's nothing in it.
Oh. It's not.
It's like doing the wash in the bathtub when you have a washing machine.
That's just unbelievable.
Isn't it?
And you saw that.
Mm-hmm. I was bending over the... A little bathtub washing out the clothes.
And there's no place to put your feet on a bathtub. It's an awfulest place.
It's the worst place to wash clothes. You could at least wash it in the sink. It's a little higher.
Yeah.
So bending over double to wash it in the bathtub.
Yeah. It's always close in the bathroom. The air's close. You sweat, you sweat it.
And here's what one of means.
Yes. With a washing machine. Washed in the bathtub.
You know, I don't even like to go into this bathroom. I don't mind going to the one out of the trailer because it's warm. It's so close and that's it. Yeah.
And of course their meat, they let that season. And you know, we think we have to bring, I'm concerned about bringing a chicken from town out here.
Mm-hmm.
Because here, you know, it might spoil on a hot day. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or an hour.
Yeah.
You can keep the chicken out of it.
They eat everything just about raw, too, the meat. But to cook a steak in France, you just sort of let it get brown on one side and let it get brown on the other side and eat it. it's really bloody inside. And they eat raw lamb.
They do what?
Well, not
I
raw,
mean,
but rare lamb.
Uh-huh.
Very rare. It's
rare
pink and bloody. It's pink and bloody like beef when they eat it. And chicken is a lot rarer than we eat it, too.
Well, I can't stand rare chicken. It's just... Can you make it?
Just don't cook it as long.
Can you do it?
Can I
mean,
do
can
it?
You stand
can you
it?
Eat?
Yes, I can eat it. I eat everything there except the
rare,
raw artichokes.
Rare
I didn't eat.
Chicken?
I am completely omnivorous.
Are they there?
I like everything.
Is there pork rare?
No, they're pork to cook. They have to cook that. But lamb is actually better, rare, I think, than cooked to death, the way
yes.
we cook it in this
yeah.
country.
I used to think that lamb had to be cooked like pork, but I know better now.
I don't know anything about those things you're talking about, just listening. and, you know, really, what I know, I just learned in the last year, so I don't know how I, and it's just pure accident I got into it then. I just thinking, let me tell you one little thing. It's in listening. You listen well. I mean, and, you know, you do all those things very well. But I didn't. And I had to learn how. Where is it? That's not quite the word, learn how. But, you said, I believe you said, when you were here last, that they were, they didn't much like the Mr. The Premier now, he was sort of American. Too much of American influence.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't care for that. Although they had a little of it already with that underground watering system. And you went too. You didn't go along with them too much. Well, you know what came to my mind just immediately. As soon as you find something like that sort of works in them, keep it open. And let them carry it as long as far as it will. What you think doesn't matter. What you want to do is open it up and see how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you can carry it far enough that they'll learn themselves how they feel that they didn't know. And have curiosity. So many things, you see, you don't have a chance to think about. It's all half-baked. Nobody will listen to you. You can't talk to yourself. And, you know, people say they can sit down and think, but I found out long ago I can't. I read by myself, but I don't do it very well. I have to come to and open it up.
And talk about it.
Right away. I do. Now, I'm not a good reader. You wouldn't have to do that as much as I do. But on that other, you see, I found out, and see what that does. It's such a simple thing, and it kills so much conversation talk, especially with the young. One says, I love to do this. The other says, I don't know why you have to love to avoid what you see in that.
And that's killed.
You see, they're Scotch here.
Mm-hmm.
They're Scotch here. And, you ought to go ahead and let a man see. Help him out. In a way, just... And it makes a big difference. Big difference.
Some of the things that's fun to when I know one of the recent things that Rick looked at, and he wasn't quite, I can't bring it the case up, but I just remembered he came in here and he saw a guy did what he said. He just sort of opened it up. First thing, Rick said, well, I can, it was something that was happening down at the council. He said, I can see what happened. You know, I can see from just hearing it. And yeah. This happens over and over and over.
I don't see, he saw that, I didn't see it. I mean, he saw it himself every time. Just hold it on. They call it drawing people out. I don't think of it that way. I'm not drawing people out. I'm not interfering with them. I'm just listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm into it, you know. You have to be in this, you know. I wish I knew this much about German. I used to live there a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this much. And even China. You see, I lived in China 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I know about it? I know that when they put water in the bathtub for me to sit down, they all went in there and watched me take a bath. I was so big, for one thing, you see, and they wanted to see if I had hairs on me or something like that. You know, it's all perfectly public. They don't have anything private, you see, over there. They've got past that long ago.
And these little yellow men coming up to your shoulder. Looking up like that.
Yeah, those old compounds, I got used to those. See, Madam, her family. See, her family, her father was a warlord. He went to school in Germany. And he had a picture of him there, like the German Kaiser on a white horse, you see. That was his background. First I ever knew her, we were on a special services truck. It was hauling us around the countryside looking thing, and they got her because she could speak English. She went to school at Cornell. And I just stand there and somebody says, she says, this battle, last battle, she says, between the warlords was fought right there. It was sort of an incline. And somebody said, do you know anything about it? Something like that. Well, she says she ought to. Her daddy was one of the generals. And he owned everything, you see. They had all sorts of property. And her mother, you see, with all those westernized children, she still had her Chinese doctor. And he'd come and he'd stay in there. Of course, I didn't see what he did, but he'd go in there and he'd stay a long time. They brewed medicine and they punctured them for the blood and I used to know some of the things they did. It's not that acupuncture, that's something else. I used to know things they did, I've forgotten them. But he's staying there a long time. It was almost a ceremony. Doctor. And you see, I didn't know how to find out then. I could have found out. I didn't know how. Isn't that amazing? I was old enough to know those things. Always nosy, you see. I never stayed in the little camps. As soon as you see they turn this loose, away I go. And I get the interpreter. I couldn't speak Chinese, you see. That's true, man. I learned other languages, but I didn't have the heart for that. And just light out on the countryside. And I remember one time we lit out. I forget just what I was selling that day.
But we lit out, and here was the head man of the village. And I can't remember anything except here we were sitting at that big black mahogany table of his, cleared off, and he was pouring the tea. But I still didn't know quite enough. I couldn't quite make my way. Isn't that amazing? It took me so long. I see now, I just slapped that up. I'd be there till the middle of the morning. I'd have it all there, and I'd put it on the typewriter.
You mean this is coming?
Because I can see better on a tape of copper, and really, than I do during this while it's going on. You see, Debbie's been out here, but the only person she's talked to is that troll.
Debbie's had more conversation with Missy and the frog and Ezra, who lives in that.
Ezra, that's who it was.
Debbie and Ezra and Missy. Hour on hour, they sit out there and talk. He lived in that water. He may still be there.
But I'm telling you, Devin, I'm just flooding you now. But you talk about, see, Ezra. See, you don't know anything about Ezra. Your mind is sort of opaque. The light doesn't get in that well. Let me tell you what I did. I thought I knew something about poison oak. I'd had it enough. We were standing out here one day, and old Willie Chitty came up. And something was said about poison oak, and I started saying, and he picked up the subject. He told me things about poison oak I had never dreamed of. I never read a book about it. But you see, the countryside can look. They don't know they can. They don't know their gifts. That's the reason they talk. It's born in them. And you see what stops it. What stops it? Schooling. Can't survive it. No, the examining things, the looking at things, can't survive at school. They don't get past the six year old. As soon as he gets there, he's just about gone. Now you see, that sounds sort of anti schooling, doesn't it? Well, you see, there's nothing I can do about it. But you see, Willie knew so much more about poison oak than I knew. That I just had to shut up. And you see, he didn't even know he was interested in poison oak. I have gone through, oh God, the things I have seen. We reconstructed. This is the way their mind works. It's fabulous the way their mind works. See, I let you, I didn't know that at the time, but I let you listen to a tape that you could listen to. It was the finest thing I've ever heard. But you see, you've got to grow into it. And I don't know whether anybody can listen to tapes or not, but me. But you see, I can just live in them. I just get lost in them. I just get pulled into that world. And it's more real than all this stuff out here, you see. Boy, it's And novels and things like that, I get so I can't stand them. After that, that one tape you listened to and part in there, you see? Mm-hmm. That's the finest thing I've heard. But you see, it takes so long.
to be able to.
Mm-hmm. You know, but you got to get conditioned to it.
To know what to listen.
Well, anyhow, what I meant to say, all I meant to say was, see, they have that. They have that. That's all I know, really. I picked it up from them, that's all. You see, just the same thing you were doing about the dinner at the mm-hmm. in the family there. You were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you educated. You're supposed to do that. They're not educated, and they can beat you. I don't know if they can beat you or not, but they can beat me. But I mean, it's just. And when they report, it sounds different. When I report, it sounds sort of like I'd read encyclopedia.
But the talk like this is so much better than abstraction. The scene.
Yeah.
You know, it's so much more fun, it seems
yeah.
to me.
Now, you see what you can do, Debbie. You can test it. You take Ezra and just look at him at your typewriter and see what you saw. I mean, just for your own interest. I see if it's Willie.
He'd tell you about frogs.
He'd know.
Yes, sir. He'd know, and he'd have a look. That's the mm-hmm. thing. Cookie knows what's going on. He doesn't look.
It's like my father. My father.
Yes, her daddy was like that.
You know, it was always inconceivable to my daddy that why people didn't know which way the wind was coming. You just knew which way the wind was blowing. You lived with these things. You didn't go out and say, which way is the wind blowing? You knew. You know? And he was just conscious. Everything outside or inside or anything else. You know, those are the things. Because one of the things about it, he didn't talk about it because he just assumed everybody knew.
Gosh, I wish it would quit this dripping. I need to do some things, and y'all don't want to set it inside.
Let's take our shoes off and take a walk.
Fat squirrel, did you see him?
Well, it's still missing.
His belly was just rolling out, and he was eating away. So not that was bird feeder.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't see that, you guys. See? Yeah.
I haven't put anything out there like that.
But he had something he was chomping away at. We can't even get out on the road right now until it dries off a little bit.
I've got to get out because that lunch will just go right down, and I'll just go right to sleep. I will move around a little bit.
This is what we all need to do, is move around.
Yeah. Is it really raining outside? What's it doing?
I don't think it's bad. At least it's not going to stop me.
It ought to let up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, she's kind of coming to life.
Yeah. She's playing. This is her all plan. She said she didn't think she could do it in games. I don't know. But she's not going to let this drop. She's going to lie on it.
No, she'll have to do it, aren't you?
Well, I don't know about that, but
she can just come out here and bring a typewriter.
Yeah.
She can't write at home.
Well, no, she knows that. She's, I think she's going, I don't know, I haven't heard her talk about it, Pam, but she's going to write. She said.
I need to do some things.
I thought maybe I'd see if now I don't know. I think she's going to to Boston, maybe next week. I don't know, but I thought I'd see if she'd like to come out some evening. I think we do better. I think she planned. I think I heard her say that she had to. That's why I said she said she had to get away from me. I don't know. I don't think she's seriously going to look for a job. I have no. Yeah, but as far as. Yeah. Well, come right in here. My gosh. When did you come? Where did you come from?
I just dropped in a cloud out there.
Well, bless my bones.
Come
you're just in time for supper.
I don't eat.
Well, you can always eat again.
Well,
you know.
Sure get you a cup of coffee going.
I never used fat as much as I did this summer. I seem like I can't sit down or stay in the house.
Well, I can't hardly either. Inside, I just there's got to be some air moving.
Some air moving. I think, if I hadn't been so heavy on my feet, I'd have picked something up the ceiling to take it out, you see. That's where you can't ventilate from down here.
No, you want to pull it in here and out at the top.
Yeah.
Blow it out of there, because heat goes up. See?
Yes, and all that stuff up there, and you can't touch it. Well, I knew it, but I kept thinking it was moderate. Oh, man.
We had some rain down here, ain't you?
A little bit. Yeah, we had 5 inches one day.
Boy, they've had some rain up the country.
Oh, I understand they have.
Boy, Dad can't even put his head up.
Just standing out there. Yeah.
Hey.
Keep
seeing. He's got his clover and orchard grass. My clover's done started to die.
Oh, you mean it's been held up that long?
It's been held up that long. He just can't get it cut. He can cut it, but he can't get it up. So what's used to go out there and burn gas cutting it when you can't get it up? And got no hope of getting it up.
And it'll be worse shape on the ground and just stand up.
Standing up, he can turn the cows out and they'll get a little bit of it.
How long will that clover hold up after it's ready?
Well, if you wait 3 weeks after it gets ready, well, it's then starts downhill.
Well, you see that wet weather, you see 3 weeks ain't nothing once it starts getting wet.
No. Even the ground's molded underneath it.
Yeah.
Sure has. The ground is molded underneath it. He's got up about 1,100 bales.
That do it?
No.
Well,
I'm going to try to bring about 40 bale back with me when I go up to get my horse.
Get your horse?
Yeah. That wicked look he gave you, Faye.
What did I tell you first? I was going to go horse trading, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I did.
Yeah.
Not horse trading.
Yeah, you told us. You sent me. You haven't got much water there, have you?
I got enough. I got the most beautiful Pinto. Looks just exactly like Rowdy, only just a little bit taller.
Not as big.
Yeah, he's big, but he's taller. Leggier. I mean, the body, their bodies are about the same size, body-wise. But Tony's just a little bit leggier than Rowdy. I'm talking about something that's going to be sweet, and I hook them two together, that's going to be something.
Oh, really? You mean they're matched with Rowdy?
Yes, sir. They'll clash anywhere.
Yeah.
What do you think Babe's going to think?
Well, I'll tell you. Since he made that ugly move about them motorcycles, I tell you, I'm after me being cut up the way I have, I'm just a little bit scared to put her out on the road.
Yeah.
Now, my dad bought this horse and told me, he said, now, here he is, take him to Florida and put him with Rowdy, that's it. He said, don't put Babe out on the road. He said, I'll give you that horse.
Yeah. Well?
Because he said, I know you're going to put him on the road. I said, yes, sir. If I get a chance, I will.
Yeah. Babe's such a beautiful horse.
Ain't she, though? I'm just looking at him out there.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you. It's just screwball anyhow to take them horses over there at that homecoming with all those nuts.
I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it no more. Not to a deal like that. Maybe I can put them in a parade after I get this other horse down here and get him work with Rowdy a little while.
I don't know.
Put him in a parade. And but as far as taking them out like that with a bunch of them screwballs, like you say, I just ain't gonna do it.
They got no sense. And they're mean.
Yeah.
It's not accidental, it's on purpose. How much you. We just talk about it.
So we. Daddy knows I like to work horses. Ain't nothing I like to do any better than work a good pair of horses. And if I hadn't have got knocked out, things have been a lot different. I'll guarantee you, Randy. But I got knocked out. I'm still knocked out, but I got to go back to work.
Well, you got another day or two.
They released me to go to work tomorrow. Tomorrow's first, Aunt.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yes. Well, I didn't think you'd go to after Labor Day.
They released me to go to work the first. September 1st.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm going or not.
I just gonna report in and see what they're doing. Take a little bit of time.
I don't want to go back to work yet.
You better get you from the rooster.
How you gonna manage that all that taxi business?
That's just that's it.
Yes, that's it. 200 miles a week and you don't get nowhere. What's that?
It amounts. That's just what it amounts to. 200 miles a day and you don't go no place either.
That's what I mean. A day.
I just think I drove 850 miles and. Yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Are you 850?
Yeah. I don't know what St. Peter will do with him. But he won't put him on the advisory council, I know. He hasn't showed good sense since he's been out here. He used to have some excuse for it, you see. His addle over there didn't know what was wrong. It was that tooth, just one tooth. Yeah.
One, two.
Yeah. And he hadn't got over there. He got saddled in, he hadn't got over yet.
I ain't over yet.
Well, the Fay called Helen.
Yeah. I got in this afternoon. Helen was in the bed. The rest of them was fighting and I left. Well, it's the truth. I had two girls with me.
Yeah.
I turned them loose just like turning the cyclone loose.
You had to leave then, didn't you?
I did. I left. I don't care.
Yeah. Well,
I don't put up with it.
Clearly, you're just wasting time. Tell me about you. Went on up there. Hell, I know what went on.
That's
up
right.
Here.
You've been away. I forgot about that.
Well, you just missed it. That's all.
Yeah. All night long.
For 2 weeks. I told Dad, I said, if I'd have done a little bit more persuading, I'd have brought God with me. He said, I wish you had it.
I wish you had it too.
The fella never missed anything like I did.
And that homecoming up there, Dad and Mama, if it hadn't been for our immediate family, there wouldn't have been no homecoming.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Oh, you mean yours? Your family?
Dad's, it was a whole Cook generation supposed to have had it. Well, Dad's children and grandchildren,
yeah,
in-laws and outlaws, was the biggest crowd there. There was 54 there, and out of the 54, 39 of them come from Dad's immediate family.
Whew. Oh, I never heard you talk about the other parts of it.
Oh, yeah. See, Dad's got a bunch of brothers and sisters, and all of them was to meet together, see, on this particular day and have a homecoming.
Up at your house?
No, up at Roane County 4-H campgrounds.
Oh.
Oh, a campground.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great big building there.
Yeah.
And 54 present and 39 of them was in and out of Dad's Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a lot of folks.
And eating, Guy Miles, you never in your life saw as much food.
No shortage.
No shortage at all. No, they didn't ration nothing.
I hate to think about it. Here we're trying to eat this old dry meat and these old canned beans. Oh, boy.
Mama had fresh killed chickens out of the chicken house.
Yeah. They taste a little bit different that way.
There's no comparison. There are no comparison. Believe me.
Mm-hmm. I can.
You know, little by little, we get weaned away from things that taste good.
And then you get a hold of something and you don't care how it tastes.
That's right. You get so you just eat sort of.
That's right.
Absolutely. But now let me tell you, that food up there, well, now it'll change your mind.
Yeah.
It will change your mind.
Well, I'm ready. I'm saying.
Well, now I'll tell you before we go any further, I promise Dad that if I got to come next year, I'm going to take 1 week.
Let me tell you.
For the trip.
Let me tell you. I may not have to wait until next year.
You may not?
No.
Well, do you want to go back with me Thanksgiving when I go get my horse?
It's possible.
All right.
It is possible. No, that's too short a trip. I want to stay a while.
Well, we can stay. We'll go get Tony, and you can see Cassius, and believe me, you won't believe your own eyes when you see that animal.
Oh, really?
He really grown up?
I would love to see him.
He weighs over 1,000 pounds.
He still looks like he had his shoes polished?
That's right. He weighs over 1,000 pounds.
He's the prettiest thing that we ever had out here.
He's the prettiest thing that ever had on his property.
I'm going to tell you, there's another pretty one out there now, but he's not quite as alert as this one.
Yeah.
But he's a buzzer.
You know, Guy, I ought to be kicked all over this farm. I haven't even been out there and looked at your calves. I don't even know what you got out there. I haven't even saw them.
Heifers are pretty this year.
They wasn't done calving the last time I saw them.
Oh, I haven't?
No. I never saw them.
Well, you haven't seen little Caffis. He was the last one.
I haven't saw none of them. That is after they got straightened out and started growing.
Yeah.
Heck, they were just little old puny things when they was born.
Yeah.
I pulled out at 8 o'clock this morning. Wouldn't tell them that. 3 hours and 15 minutes. Across Georgia and 100 miles down in Florida.
You ought to have your head again.
And that same old Cadillac.
That same old Cadillac. The longer you run, the better it runs, seem like.
You know, Cookie, it's